disciplines. I don't mean that as a word for punishment. Disciplines are merely things that we can do to foster our relationship with God. And again, we can't do them, we can't manufacture them. They have to be born from the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that as we go through. So one of the reasons I chose the first song is Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Melissa, let earth receive her King. No matter what happens in this crazy world, in this sin-sick world, Christ is still King. So I'm going to turn it over to Chip, oops, as I trip, and I'll ask you to stand as we sing.
So it's Christmas in July, so think snow, everybody. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Created everything. He put the stars in the sky and set the world spinning. He created all life from plankton to humanity. He created us. His power is immense, yet he knows every hair on our heads. He made us individuals with free will and has tried to show us how to live and how to pray. I say tried because we are imperfect. And we just can't get it perfect. Perfection is his realm. With all our imperfections, he still loves us and has shown us his love through the embrace of our mothers and fathers, through experiencing beautiful sunrises, through the fact that he came down to earth to show us the way, with a capital W, we need to live. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who created everything and everybody. come today in fellowship to give thanks to the Lord our God for giving us our lives, our kin, our everything. We owe him all praise and laud. So sing with a grateful heart. Sing loud and clear. Dance if you want to. Put your hands in the air and sing. With me, brothers and sisters, a responsive reading, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So rejoice. Be gentle. God is nigh. Pray with thanks to God, and he will give you peace. Think good thoughts. Lionize the praiseworthy. Paul uses his teachings, which were God-given, as examples of how to live life and how to treat others. If you can do these things, God will be with you. These are very simple guidelines, which at times are hard to realize. But try to find the beauty in everything around you. Everything that happens in the existence of God will be exemplified.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. As we go into prayer, and those who are going to be helping with tithes and offerings, would you come up, please? Okay. As we look to prayer this morning, there's a couple of things that I know are heavy on my heart, and I can't even imagine. Still with the parents of the children who were lost at Camp Mystic in Texas are going through. What a tragedy. It was a catastrophic event, a flash flood where, I don't know if I've ever heard this before, a river rose 26 feet in 45 minutes. That's incredible. There's almost no way to get out of that. And what it amounts to really is, if you look at it, is a freshwater tidal wave. That's what it is. So I want to pray for the parents of those who lost children. I don't know if you could ever recover from that, but with God's help, we can go on. I want to pray for those who survived, living through that and knowing that your friends died. That's hard, also. Psychologists say that many times survivor's guilt sets in, which means, you know, you ask, how come them and not me? All I know through this whole thing is that God is sovereign and that God is good. And as we pray for these dear people, let's not forget the search is still ongoing. And there are still people missing, not only from the camp, but from the surrounding areas. I was watching the national weather forecast this morning, and there's more heavy rain predicted north of that town, and there's flash flood warnings that have been issued. So we need to pray for that devastation. Also, if we can pray, have a friend that received a devastating diagnosis on Friday of cancer. And I just want to lift him up in prayer. His name is Michael. You don't need to know the last name at this point. But I've known him for some years. And, of course, nobody likes to hear the C word, as you well know. So, as we go to prayer, would you keep those things in mind? And listen, just because this tragedy happened in Texas and they're, 2,500, 3,000 miles away, doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us, okay? I'll give you an example. Some years ago, when speaking in Arizona, politician, a Democrat, female. A shooter came and shot her and shot people in the crowd. I think it's Gifford? I can't remember her name, right? And one of the people she shot in the crowd was the mother, who I knew very well, of one of my classmates in high school. And it was like she was there one moment and gone the next. So these tragedies happen, and sometimes they hit close to home. So let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray for those dear people who have lost loved ones in this tragedy. Father, all the questions that come up now, the answers almost mean nothing. But the pain of the loss and the grief still go on. I pray that you would comfort the parents, the relatives, the friends. We pray, Father, that the rest of the missing might be found. We pray, Father, that somehow, some way through organizations like Samaritan's Purse and the local churches out there who have done an outstanding job would come alongside people and just sit with them and cry. Just to say we care. So we lift them up before you. And Father, I pray for my friend who just received a devastating diagnosis, that you would just hold him close to you, somehow assure him that you'll walk with him through this. I pray that, Father, you would comfort his family through this process. This is hard. And so, Father, we look to you for comfort, for peace, for wisdom in all of this. I pray for our church, Father. Help our church reach out to the lost, to reach out to those who need to know Christ. Help us to show our love to them, our concern. Help us, Father, through your Holy Spirit, to give us the words of witness to tell them about a Jesus who loved us so much he went to die for us in our place on the cross so we can be forgiven and have eternal life through faith and repentance. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for the offering. Would you bless the gift and the giver? Help us to be good stewards of this offering as we prepare for and are in the middle of summer ministries and as we prepare for fall ministries. Bless both the gift and the giver, Father. We give you glory for the answers to prayer. In Jesus' name. All people said, Amen. Amen. Many crowns. It's a great, great hymn. He is King. He is King. I want to look with you this morning. Again, we're going to continue the series, What It Means to Be a Church Family. And even the concept of a church family is foreign to some people, especially in some of the bigger churches or some of the mainline churches, because, you know, the truth be known, the bigger the numbers, the more you can get lost. And there's really no concept of family sometimes. Now, some bigger churches do it well. I'm not trying to put them down, but many don't. And God designed the church to be a family. It says so right in his word. And families go through good times and bad times. We know that, correct? The other thing about the instructions that Paul gives to us about being a church family, I have to call to your attention that many times we use words and we don't really understand them in the biblical sense. Okay? Does that make sense? All right? Happens all the time. I hate when we develop our, Christianese, okay, for lack of a better word. When we develop Christianese, like we use words like witnessing and sin and prayer and all of that, without explaining the biblical concept of those, we lose a lot. They just become words, because we really don't understand them. In the evangelical church, even as recent as 10 years ago, if I used the word meditate, it would be scandalous, right? We don't meditate, we don't do yoga. Well, guess what? Meditate is a command in the Bible. It's a command to do what? To digest the word of God, to chew on it, to think on it, and then to digest it and apply it to our lives. It's not a bad word. In fact, it's a good word. But we get into these ruts, right? And we come to three simple verses. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Let me read them for you. It says, rejoice always. Okay? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You say, okay, Pastor, is that all we're going to look at this morning? That's enough. Isn't it? I won't embarrass anybody, but if I ask you, how many of you do this in a way the Bible suggests? Listen, I don't do it all the time. Rejoice always. Rejoice, that whole word group in the original language, comes from the word charis, which means peace and grace. But rejoicing and joy are the same concept. And here's where we go wrong. We think of the only time we can rejoice is when everything's okay. I don't know about you, but everything's not okay. You know, last week we had a malfunction with our hot water heater, which spewed carbon monoxide into our house. Could have been fatal. God spared us. I'm grateful. But I give thanks because it pointed out a problem with the hot water heater, right? We had the fire department there and the police there, and well, you know, it's people must have thought we were getting raided or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's kind of a humbling experience when something like that happens. But we're told to rejoice always. We get joy confused with happiness. And we still do that. I see that in the church all the time. And it's a misunderstanding of Scripture. It's a misunderstanding of what God wants for us. Listen, does he want us to be happy? Well, yeah, okay, we can be happy, but realize happiness is based on circumstances, period, right? Your car started today. That should make you happy, right? You know, you got into a warm shower or bath. That should make you happy. I mean, you know, that's fine. Happiness is circumstantial, but what happens if the hot water heater breaks? And you have to take a cold shower. Well, it's not so happy anymore. Joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. Joy is divorced from circumstance. Joy comes from a settled relationship between us and God through Jesus Christ. So if the carbon monoxide would have overcome us, We'd be in heaven. I don't want to expedite it, but we'd be in heaven. And if we didn't get the alarm, I wouldn't even know there was a problem, because carbon monoxide is odorless, right? Okay. Can we rejoice always? Listen, this is a command. This is written in the original language. It's an imperative, and it's written in the present tense, which means you rejoice, and you rejoice all the time. Lord, but it's Monday. Rejoice. Lord, my in-laws are coming over. Rejoice. Lord, I got a doctor's appointment today. Rejoice, right? Listen, we can't manufacture this. And this is where we go wrong. We have the wrong definition sometimes of what rejoicing and joy is. We can't manufacture this. This could only happen when we yield ourselves to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Because this is Holy Spirit manufactured. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What's next? Thank you. Joy. We can't manufacture it. These kind of are all related together. And you're going to see that in a moment. But understand that if we're not reading the Word of God, if we're not memorizing, not a bad word, by the way, the Word of God, if we're not meditating on the Word of God, we have no reason to rejoice. Because what's in the Word of God is promises. What's in the Word of God is comfort, is truth. What's in the Word of God? Sometimes the Word of God is a mirror that points out our flaws, our sin, right? And we can even rejoice in that, because now we can recognize our sin, confess it, repent of it, and go on with God. Rejoice always. Does that make sense? You know, and I get this all the time. Listen, you know, every day is not a party. Every day has its challenges. Even Scripture says that. However, how would you rather begin the day? Would you rather begin the day spending time with Jesus in His Word and asking the Holy Spirit to bring forth fruit from your time? Or would you rather get up pacing about the doctor's appointments and how am I going to get everything done? You know, the house is dirty, the kids are unruly. I mean, how would you rather start your day? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? Well, the election didn't turn out the way I wanted. Tough. Rejoice. Always. Isn't that where we go wrong? We're so spoiled, right? Things don't turn out the way we wanted. It turned out the way God allowed it. And we don't know all the reasons why. Rejoice always. Then we come to, in my estimation, what's the hardest. Pray continually, or some translations say, pray without ceasing. That, again, is written in command language. These aren't options, these are commands. Pray without ceasing or continually. Again, it's written in the imperative present, which means you do it all the time. If you were here for prayer meeting on Tuesday, we do have a license to show movie clips, and I'm not sure how to integrate that with the broadcast on Facebook, because they don't believe we have licenses for this stuff. But I showed a clip from Fiddler on the Roof. How many of you have seen Fiddler on the Roof? It's a classic, right? If you haven't seen it, you should get it, right? Topol, who played Tevye, a poor milkman, that's how he made his living, with a family, four girls. You pray for him already. This was during the Russian Bolshevik Revolution, and he had a cart where he carried the, you know, the canisters of milk, and he had a mule or a horse that helped him. And right on the Sabbath, which was a Friday, he was making his rounds, and his horse went lame, right? And the reason why I showed this, it's one of my favorite clips, because Tevye showed what it means to pray continually. All through the movie, he shows what it means to pray continually. All it means is to have a continual conversation with God. He's walking the horse back, and he looks up, and he says, I know you're busy up there, but did you have to choose now to have him go lame? He says, sometimes when I think that it's too quiet up there, you say, let's send Tevye something to excite the day. And we laugh at that, but this is true prayer. He's coming before the Lord, and he says, Lord, let me tell you how I feel. And he talked it through with the Lord. And then if you follow the dialogue as he goes on, he enters in back on his property to bring the horse back to care for it. And his wife is there nagging him. You're going to be late for the Sabbath. No, I'm not. I'll be there. You're going to be late. He says, you keep talking to me like that, I will be late. And then he looks up and he says, Lord, couldn't you send something for that? Then he goes into the barn and he's caring for the horse. And he looks up again and he says, Lord, I know it's not a sin to live in poverty. But he said, it's no honor either. And he goes on to say, would it hurt, Lord, if I had a little bit of a fortune? Just a little bit. And then he goes into the song, if I were a rich man. Right? Here's a man. And listen, you know, typically Jewish people are better at this than even Christians. They have this continual conversation with God. Now you say to me, okay, if we pray continually, that doesn't mean you shut your eyes when you drive. You know, doesn't mean you shut your eyes when you walk. It means you have this ongoing conversation, but it's got to start with you and God privately. I would suggest in the morning, or have that private time late at night without any distractions. There's no substitute for that private time between you and God. But that conversation needs to go on during the day. Is there anyone here who doesn't face challenges during the day? We all do, right? We need to talk to God about them. There's a joke between Mary Lou and I, because I spent a lot of time in downtown Tom's River. And if you don't know how to parallel park, it's a bear, right? Parallel parking is not a problem for me. I grew up in North Jersey. But finding a parking space is in Tom's River. So sometimes we'll go up and I'll say to Mary Lou, did you pray for a parking space? Yes, I did. And sure enough, there'll be a parking space. The one that's left. Pray continually. You say, oh, that's stupid. No, it's not. You have that continuing conversation between you and God. We got to get away from the checklist. Thank you, Lord. I rejoiced. Check. Lord, I'm praying. Help me through the day. Check. That's much more than that. This is rooted in the fruit of the Spirit. It's rooted in a continual, growing, intimate relationship, a love affair between us and Jesus. How do you know how much Jesus loves you? Thank you. Who said that? Okay. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Theologians through the ages have said that is the most perfect song written. We won't know how much Jesus loves us unless we read his love letter. And this is where we fall short sometimes. Pray continually. We're free to talk with God. Do you remember what happened when Jesus gave up his life on the cross? What happened in the temple? Do you remember? The veil was ripped how? Top to bottom. Now, the veil was probably 15 to 20 feet high. It was also the thickness of a man's fist. This couldn't be done humanly. This was supernatural. The sacrifice of Christ paved the way for those who trusted him to go into the Holy of Holies, stand before the throne of grace, and pray continually. We don't need a priest. We don't need an intermediary, because we have direct access to God. The language in the book of Hebrews implies this, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, boldly, and find grace and mercy in our time of need. The language almost implies that Jesus ushers us in. Isn't that great? He ushers us in because we're unworthy, right? It was only because of his righteousness that we can stand before the throne. It's incredible when you think about it. What we take for granted. Pray continually. Are we free to talk to God about our feelings of discouragement, disappointed? Are we free to talk to God to ask for deliverance from sin, confess our sin, or intercede before God for someone else? I interceded for this man, Michael, this morning. And intercession prayer just means we pray for the needs of others. But there are elements of prayer that need to precede that. Adoration, which we did in worship, right? We adore God in worship. Confession, where we come silently before God and we, listen, God knows all our sins, and we confess them and repent of them, ask God to help us not to do them again. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the good times, the bad times. And then supplication, which means intercession for others. Too many times we come with our laundry list, right? Lord, let me tell you what I need today. You know, and God, I can picture God saying, you think you know what you need. I know what you need. You think you know what you need. That doesn't mean we can't come with our needs. But prayer is not designed to change the mind of God. Prayer is designed to get our will in line with his. Did you catch that? A lot of times we look at prayer as hoping that God would change his mind. Well, what's wrong with the mind he has now? It's perfect. He doesn't have to change it. But we have to change ours. Because usually we are thinking the wrong way, heading in the wrong direction. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now you may be saying, okay, Pastor, now you're going too far. Again, this is present, active, imperative, which means it's an ongoing thing. Yeah, maybe your car didn't start today. Give thanks. Maybe he had a bad doctor's report. Give thanks. Tough. This could only come, again, from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it takes time. It takes time. One of the things that bothers me pastorally and theologically is the fact that when bad things happen, we're quick to blame God. We're quick to blame God. God, it's your fault. Why did you do it? Do you realize no bad thing would happen in this world if it were not for the fall of Adam in the garden. It's sin. It's sin. Sometimes we can't explain why bad things happen. God can, I can. Sometimes we get confused and sometimes we get discouraged. But I do know this. If I'm reading the Word of God and I'm praying and I'm letting the Holy Spirit control my thoughts, my will, my life, I will be able to give thanks in all circumstances. This can't be manufactured. This comes from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You may ask, why are we so poor at this? Because we're not in the Word enough. We're not worshiping the way we should. We're not praying like we should. We're not memorizing Scripture like we should. Here's the key. Our thankful spirit, our thankful heart has to rest in the character of God. Did you catch that? That's quotable, by the way. Our thankful heart has to rest in the character of God. I just listed some of his characteristics. You ready? God is good. Do we really believe that? God is holy. God always does what is right. Moses said that in Deuteronomy. The Lord of the universe always does what's right. God is sovereign. That's the one that gives us a little bit of a problem, doesn't it? God, why did you allow this? Only he knows sometimes. God is sovereign. He's God. He's king. God is not the author of evil. You should underline that. God cannot author evil. It's against his character. He is holy. Evil came into the world through the sin of one man, Adam. But salvation came into the world through the one person and work of Jesus Christ. For a Christian follower, a Christ follower, Jesus promises us what? He will never abandon us or leave us, even in the worst of times. And then last, he's coming again. Christ is coming again. I'm ready. How about you? Oh, man. With every day that passes, we're a day closer. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know it's going to be. He's coming again. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me just want to end with 2 points. A lot of people will come to me and say, I don't know what the will of God is. And I'll say to them, you're making it a lot more complicated than it is. Well, what do you mean? And I could bring them passages like this. There's many in the Bible, by the way. What's the last phrase here? For this is God's what? Will for who? You. For me. In Christ Jesus. This is not a bad place to start, is it? This is a good place to start. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm going shopping for a car. I don't know whether to buy a Chevy or a Ford. I don't think God cares. You know, I don't know what his will is. I can tell you, overall, his will is this, that you stay within your budget. That's his will, so you make the choice, right? Well, Pastor, you know, I have a choice to stay in my house or, you know, move to another house. I don't think God really cares. And, you know, I say that kind of with tongue in cheek because my first question is, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? And I think through prayer you can come to a point where you say, well, God doesn't really care. He gives me the choice. But there are questions, because you have to bring other principles of the Bible in. Are we being good stewards of our money? Are we being good stewards of our time? Are we being good stewards of our resources? So I'm plugging Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. This is the will of God for you. It's not complicated. The other thought I want to leave you with is simply this. It's not original with me. James wrote it under the influence of the Holy Spirit in the book, in his letter. It says, consider it all joy. What's the word? Joy. Brothers and sisters, when you experience trials and temptations. Now listen, you don't have to go out and look for problems. They'll find you. They'll find you. The question is, are we rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it growing? Is it a love affair that is increasing? Are we relying on the Holy Spirit so that we can rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances? And Holy Spirit, help me. I want to do this because your word says this is God's will for me. Would you help me, please? I'm going to ask singers to come up, please, and Sharon. I chose this particular song to end the service with simply because of this. We all know from the gospel accounts that before Jesus was going to the cross, he went to a garden called Gethsemane. And he prayed, right? He wasn't rejoicing. He prayed. He says his soul was so burdened, it was as if he was experiencing death. As he prayed, it says he prayed in drops of blood. Okay, that's how intense. That's biologically possible, by the way. Three times he went to the Father and said, Lord, can you remove this cup from me? What cup? The cup of wrath that he would experience on the cross for your sin and mine. And each time, the Father said, my grace is sufficient for you. This is my will. After he prayed, the scripture says, after he prayed the third time, didn't happen immediately, but after he prayed the third time, it says, then he went with joy to the cross. Why did he go with joy? Because his relationship with the Father, he knew he was doing the Father's will. As horrible as it was going to be, he still had joy. To take on the sin of the whole world and endure the full wrath of God, he still had joy. And then, of course, 3 days later, he was vindicated when he rose from the grave. Worthy is the Lamb. Would you stand, please?
Bearing all my sin and shame, divine.
You're all hired as choir. The pay is excellent at zero. Good singing, good worship. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Let's pray. Father, would you dismiss us in the power of the Holy Spirit? Help us, Father, to be salt and light to a world that is bitter and dark. Help us show people how we love them and then earn the opportunity to share Christ with them. Father, through your Holy Spirit, I pray that you help us rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. We give you praise and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Good. Have a great lunch. God